Blog Talk Radio.
Live here in the city of Washington, D.C. And all that we can say, we always know. Right here on Black Power Radio, on our show, we give you more of what you listen to the radio for. And there you go. Marvin Gaye said the best, don't you? Ooh,
don't go and say things about my father. God is my friend. He made this world for us to live in. He gave us everything.
Him, the Almighty God who originated the heavens and earth, has given us one more grand opportunity to bring you another episode of Black Power Radio. It's your host, Sheikh Elie Akbar. I'm right here in Washington, D.C., soon to be in the up-and-coming state of South Carolina. There's so much going on in the world today, but again, so much is going on in the state of South Carolina. We'd like you to press 1 if you indeed like to speak on our broadcast tonight. If you indeed want to communicate with all of those who are in your universe and throughout, I guess, the hails and the smells of North America and all of those with the KKKKKK, and we're just happy to be able to transmit and happy to receive you tonight on Black Power Radio. Again, we're here to give you more updated information on our form of activism, on We the People Government, and on what is the current update in South Carolina. Now, our co-host will be right here with us shortly, and I hope we can bring him on the mic. We got Brother Ty right out there in the state of South Carolina. We hope we can bring him live right now. I hope we got the right digit and distinguished him from all the others out there. Welcome to Black Power Radio, co-host Brother Ty. You out there in the midst of things. See if we did that correctly. I hope we can hear us. Can you hear us? Out in the city.
Yeah, I can hear you. I'm here. Black Power. How y'all doing out there?
We have to hear you. Hey, man. It's Black Power over here. I don't know how y'all doing over there, but we're doing Black Power Radio over here, and it's like black power with a strong revolution and a strong black military to block that goddamn call. Welcome to Black Power Radio, Brother Ty, and to you, all of those in South Carolina. And I know you're coming with the updates and all that's going on with that, and give us a briefing on what you see in Carolina, and we have several more waiting online. Go ahead.
Yeah, right now we got again, you know, we mentioned before, young man came down from New York to live a better life, and somehow, we don't know how, but he ended up in the county jail of Spartanburg. And they didn't know what to charge him with, so they came up with a bogus charge, a pedestrian on the street. So that, in other words, I guess that means he was walking down the street. Like his mama said, you know, everybody don't have a car, a scooter, other means of transportation. So, you know, you walk down the street to get the way you're going to. There was no gun on this guy. There was no crime committed other than the bogus crime of walking down the street But he wasn't in jail long, and he ended up dead, naked and dead. Now, we wasn't there. We don't know what all happened. But we do know this. You shouldn't die just from going to jail 5 or 6 hours. So we're in the middle of the investigation right now. The mortician lady that got the body said that he had been butchered, as if the people who did the autopsy or maybe somebody at the jailhouse, they cut parts off of his body to maybe get rid of the bruises or the places where he was stunned with a stun gun in several places, several different times. We really don't know what happened because we weren't there again, but we do know that the lady said he was butchered. I want to see the body and get pictures of the body. The mother said that at first she wanted to see the body, but after she talked to the lady at the funeral home, which she knows personally, she said that you don't want to see this. This is bad. It's going to engrave something in your mind that you'll never forget. They're not supposed to do people like this. Autopsy, people don't do people like this during an autopsy. It's bad. But anyway, tomorrow in Gaffney, South Carolina at 1809 Old Post Road, Gaffney, at Mount Sinai Baptist Church, he's going to be buried. Not buried, but his homegoing services is going to be there at 2 o'clock. The family needs all the support they can get. Again, this guy came down from New York to live a better life, not to come down here and get buried. So we're going to have some people in attendance from Los Angeles. The mother said that she got kids everywhere. Texas, Memphis, where else did she say? Let's see, New York, Los Angeles, Memphis, Texas, a few different places. There's people coming from different places. I'm talking about just his brothers and sisters, not counting uncles, aunts, you know, just. But, you know, they need all the support they can get if you can come there. Again, the address is 1809 Old Post Road, Gaffney, South Carolina. 2 o'clock is the time of the homegoing services. And we're going to take it from there.
All right. Well, brother, we're happy to get those updates, and we'll be there tomorrow in attendance as well. And we're going to just try to go out here and talk to Brother Jermaine is in, I think, Chicago, and he's been holding quite a while. So let's talk to Brother Jermaine in Chicago. Assalamu alaikum and Black Power. You there with us? Let me see. We can get Jermaine to the airways at 313-313-788. At 313-788, you're live on Black Power Radio. Assalamu alaikum and Black Power. I'm trying to pick him up. Brother Jermaine is out there in Chicago region. I think it's Brother Jermaine. Are you with us? Okay, we're going to have to move down from Brother Jermaine and go ahead and pick up Brother Black Lightning. Jermaine, in Chicago, I want you to just punch your mute button and get right back on air with us. Brother Black Lightning, I know you're right out on the front line, and he's been moving us back and forth from South Carolina to Washington, D.C., and back and forth to New York and all down in Atlanta, everywhere he's supposed to be. Welcome to the airwear, Black Lightning, the Strong Black Revolution, our National Minister of Defense. Thank you for joining us tonight. Black Power?
Black Power, thanks for that awesome intro. From the hills and the smells of North America, damn right. I don't know. I'm like, goodness gracious, I've been on a tip today, you know. It's like, you want me to fight for you, but you don't believe in me? Well, then I'll fight just because I like fighting, man. How about that? But there are a lot of people that do, you know, that do show that that great unmitigated love, you know, for their warriors out there on the front line, trying to do everything possible that we can possibly do. And salute to Brother Ty, CJ, all the people down in North Carolina that I met and South Carolina that I met, and all the comrades that's pulling with us and that's holding the line, you know. And we ain't in it for no we in it for the people. We're not in it for the fame and glory, you know? I could throw my Cash App out there 1,000 times on my page, but you'll never see it. You'll see 77 bakers because that's going to help us help you, you know? It's not going to help me pay my electric bill, but it will help us help you because those funds go towards our getting all the way to Brooklyn and Queens and the Bronx and the Manhattan down to Harlem and straight back up to Virginia, straight back to North Carolina, straight back to South Carolina. And while falling asleep on the road, which I did a couple of times, where is my people at? Where are my people's prayers at? Where is my people's support at? If a nigga fall asleep at the wheel and die for the cause, are y'all even going to recognize it? That's all I'm saying. I'm on that tip today. So Black Power and all the people that's behind us 100%, I'm with you 100%. Those people that ain't, whatever, you know? And it's not like I'm feeling that. It's just that you might get 20 that say you are a hero, and you might get one or two that's looking at you like, who's this nigga? You know, I done already told people who I am before I walked in the door. If they don't recognize real, that's too bad. I recognize real. That's why I'm rolling with Akbar, our national chairman. Somebody mute your line, please. If you're not speaking, please mute your line. What we do is we mute the line when we're not talking. Anyway, I guess I said a mouthful anyway. Let me see if I can break it down in small bite-sized pieces. Support your troops. Just like the white man supports his troops. His troops they don't have no problem traveling, you know, because he'll put his troops on a cargo airplane and send them where they got to go. We don't have that luxury. We don't have the luxury of having 100,000 members that's putting 20 grand a week in the till. We don't have that luxury. We don't have the luxury of having time to do anything except for go where the revolt is at, go where our people at. And we've been down there for Sister Keisha Tate, South Carolina, got killed by her neighbor, and she told the police that he's out here target practicing in the backyard. She got 9 kids. So what did he do? He got drunk and he aimed that gun up in her, went up at her while she was standing in her kitchen fixing dinner for her 6 of the 9 children was standing right there. And what did he do? He shoot through the window. So we fighting for them, you know, and we fighting for those people that need it. You know, who you going to call? You going to let a black man dial 911 if you're that dumb and watch what happens. Watch them come and ask you for your ID. Watch them come and maybe put the knee on your neck and you the one called them. So don't call them no more. Call the new Black Panther Party, you know. So anyway, that I'm going to land my, I guess I'll yield the mic on that and say, Black power, black love, black strength, black integrity.
Black power.
Keep it black, keep it strong. Black power.
Due to a technical situation we are managing here at the studio, I need you all to mute and unmute yourself. I'm going to leave you online for a period of time, but I need everyone to mute themselves and unmute themselves as we're talking because I have a situation I have to manage. I have to switch the studio network to another channel, so I need you to just be on. You're going to be on. Your mic is going to be on. All those in my
list. One last thing. I want to leave the people with love. I want to leave them with love. We're doing this for the love of the people. But sometimes maybe I get a little moody if you don't give that love back. So give that love back because we are definitely in love with the people, in love with the struggle, in love with not letting it happen again. You know, Black Power.
That's the truth in Black Power. People really tell about you by how you treat yourself, and that's something that it's going to have to grow. The wisdom will have to grow on you. But people tell a lot about you by how you're treating yourself. Say you're in love with brother, sister, so-and-so. And you tell them, well, I love you, baby. But that person watched you treat yourself like some garbage. And so how the hell is that person going to love me and any more than they love themselves if they're treating themselves like a garbage can? How in the fuck are they going to love me if they can't even love themselves? And in order to give love, the Black Panther love is the greatest love of all. In order to give and receive love, it has to be a reciprocal, meaning a two-way, what is that, Teddy Pendergrass asked for the 50-50 love. Well, we ain't been getting no 50-50 love around here. We ain't doing no Rodney King shuffle around here. And hell no, if we can all just get along, well, goddammit, if we were getting along, then the Black Panther Party wouldn't have to be out here on the front line fighting for justice and fighting the opposition and demanding the rights, the human rights, civil rights, the social and political rights of Black people, the right to have access to a job and a decent house and a decent place to, you know, participate in family value systems and whatnot. Then we just have to come alive as who we are. We are self-government. We're just not alive to our natural development. We're not alive to our own natural development. So we go out to the west side and see if we can reach Dr. Critical Truth Bayers on the west side with so much information to update us with tonight on the city council and what they've been doing and on the current race for the mayoral, the current state of affairs with South Carolina and the nine yards. Welcome to the airway, Dr. Critical Truth Bay. Salaam alaikum, power to the people.
Should be on power. The to the people. Hello, hello, hello.
Okay.
Greetings.
And remember, y'all, mute and unmute yourself tonight. Black Power. Go right here, Dr. Critical
Black
Truth.
Power.
Black Power.
All right. Well, it's been a hot minute. So we're working on here in Los Angeles the Rick Caruso mayor campaign. So I haven't seen family on the radio for the past couple of weeks. It's going to be pretty tight up until November 8th. So we'll have a full show back on. But I do thank you, Mom, for bringing me. I wanted to share a little update of what's happening here in Los Angeles. As we know, the drama always ensues with this Roman government. So first thing, I wanted to commend Iman and the Panthers for going down to South Carolina last week, October 3rd, attended City Council. Hopefully we'll have some video next show, but I really do appreciate the way that they went down to represent Keisha Tate's family and how, yeah, they wanted some actions taken by this city council. Now the county council of Gaffney, that is another behemoth to obtain, but overall I think the message, the initial message was clear that you don't gun us down and think that nothing's going to be said or done about it. I'm really encouraged and grateful to see the family come together in such a tragic time as this. But definitely Sister Keisha spirit will live on. And we'll make sure that her legacy is not going to be forgotten by any means. So, yeah, I wanted just to say a little something about that. So proud of you, Iman, and the Panthers for coming down there. And I don't know if you spoke a little bit about it already. I did hear some dialogue concerning the city council. But, yeah, your overall take and experience on that. Love to hear a little bit more about that as well, and what the next steps would be. So I want to move here back to LA. Now, last night, LA City Council President Nuri Martinez, who is a woman, Latino woman, born and raised in Boyle Heights. Yes? Hello? Oh,
yeah, we're
there. Okay. Yeah, so last night, some comments that were exposed as far as her her speech concerning Black Californians was something that we were not expecting. So I do want to play news clips. And this morning, Nery Martinez actually resigned because she was ousted in calling Black people monkeys, and a lot of other derogatory things were said. And this was not only a shocker to many, but, I mean, I'm not surprised. I'm just, they just, you know, do and what behind the scenes and what they think about Blacks in the treatment, you know, was confirmed yesterday by this video, this audio that was leaked on a private conversation that Nery Martinez and two other Hispanic city councilmen, Gil Cedillo and Kevin De Leon, both engaged in. So let's listen to the news.
There's new fallout after racist remarks at a Los Angeles City Council meeting were leaked. The council's president has now resigned, saying in a statement, "I take responsibility for what I said, and there are no excuses for those comments." Here's NBC's correspondent, Scotty Schwartz.
L.A. City Council President Nery Martinez resigning after a leaked audio recording, first reported by the L.A. Times and obtained by our affiliate KNBC, captured Martinez and Councilmember Kevin De Leon making racist and disparaging remarks in 2021. The attacks targeted fellow Councilmember Mike Bonin and his young son, who is Black. The comments, which were spoken behind closed doors in 2021, referred to an MLK parade in which Bonin participated in with his son.
It's not the oddest thing on it. It's a Black and brown on the throat. And then there's this white guy with a little Black kid with really hate. She's bouncing off the SM wall on the floor.
Martinez is also heard describing the child as a little monkey in Spanish.
Yeah, well, you know, like a little white kid, which I was like, this kid is a beat down. Like, let me take him around the corner and then I'll bring him back.
The source of the recording is unknown, and NBC News hasn't determined whether it's been edited. But the LA Times reported that during the conversation, De Leon also appeared to compare Bonin's handling of his son to Martinez carrying a Louis Vuitton handbag. Councilmember Bonin releasing a statement saying, in part, "We are appalled, angry, and absolutely disgusted that Nery Martinez attacked our son with horrific racist slurs and talked about her desire to physically harm him." The conversation, reportedly taking place during a meeting that also included Councilmember Gil Cedillo and Ron Herrera, president of the L.A. County Federation of Labor. The group was discussing the redrawing of council district boundaries. Cedillo and Herrera are not heard on tape making any racist remarks. In a statement, Cedillo apologized and said he should have intervened when racist remarks were uttered, while Herrera said in a statement that there was no excuse for the remarks and his inaction. Martinez and De Leon both issuing apologies over the weekend, with Martinez stating, "In a moment of intense frustration and anger, I let the situation get the best of me. I hold myself accountable for these comments. For that, I am sorry." De Leon, for his part, said, "There were comments made in the context of this meeting that are wholly inappropriate, and I regret appearing to condone and even contribute to certain insensitive comments made about a colleague and his family in private. I reached out to that colleague personally."
So, she's sorry, she stated. Sorry that she got caught. And so this morning, she resigned. And I want to make it clear, this is confirmation how Los Angeles and the state of California is not a place for Blacks to survive. We are not welcomed. We are not treated nearly as equal as the Hispanics and forget the white supremacists. We're talking about Hispanic supremacy. That is 10 times worse because they have a tendency to believe that, yeah, they have allies with us. And there's no, absolutely none. Zero Black and brown alliance. And this is what Nery Martinez's comments concerning how she feels about Black people. Calling us mayatas, which is Spanish for monkey. So I learned something new yesterday in Spanish. To figure out that no matter how or what we contributed and what we have done to build this country, that they have forgotten that we are the ones that really gave them the fervor and the lifestyles that they are able to possess today. They benefited greatly from chattel slavery. Their ancestors benefited greatly coming into this country where we have, you know, sanctuary states such as California, where they are given rights, housing, food, money, anything that their hearts desire is given to them at a whim. But yet, born and raised Black Americans are treated like, as she stated, like monkeys, like roaches, or whatever they want to call us that day. So it's a great awakening, and I'm so happy that this type of behavior is continually to be exposed. And as a Black woman who has presented clear plans and proposal to this body, City Council, as well as the County Board of Supervisors for almost 9 years, that it confirms why they didn't take anything that Black organizations have submitted seriously. And now it's confirmed why. So I want to hear some feedback on your thoughts, but this is definitely a groundbreaking turn in city and LA City Council politics, because now the alliances that they were trying to form, or the plans that they had for Black Californians, now has to be answered to this vile and derogatory comment. So what we say here in LA, we're going to say cut the check. Cut the check, LA City, reparations, and the task force committee. None of this matters for reparations if they can't handle what just happened here. So what we're planning to do at City Council when it comes back in session, we're going to request the resignation of Kevin DeLeon and Cedillo, the two other Hispanic councilmen that was with Martinez when this conversation occurred, and request for their resignation as well. Right now, it is a turning point that we must take advantage of, and they have nothing else to say to us. They have nothing. I mean, there's not one thing that any governance at this point can say to Black Americans in any state, because I guarantee you that Los Angeles is not the only governance that has dialogue like this. How many times have we seen, especially law enforcement, how many of their watch commanders caught on video talking about how many times they shot a nigga? How many times that they will go out and kill us again and again and again? This is no different. So I'm so grateful for technology, for cameras that are now exposing these race soldiers in governance and law enforcement, and we must take action, family. We must take action. So this is what I will give you an update next week as far as what happened with the LA City Council, but I guarantee you, family, we will be there, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. We might even go live so you can view the repercussions of what LA City has given to us this last day and a half concerning Miri Martinez. So, I would like to get some opinion, some feedback on what we think about this issue, especially if you are involved in voting, if you haven't been involved in voting. What are your thoughts?
Miss,
can I moan sometime? I hate to hog the mic on this one, but I'm going to say this, and you know, I can stay here all night and tell you how I feel, and never even break the ice on how I really feel. But all of these folks that the Negro activists always rushing the front line. We're going to have some Black and brown power here, and my brown brothers and sisters, and, you know, they always have to put that cliche in the mix. But, see, I'm a man like this. I'm not the brightest crown in the box by any means. Dr. Critical Truth Bay, Dr. Black Lightning, and Dr. CJ, and Dr. Todd this year, and all those wonderful Black Panthers online, and Black activists, I just have to make it one thing perfectly clear, like Richard Milhouse Nixon so clearly stated, I have to make one thing perfectly clear. I am not the brightest crayon in the box by any means. But nevertheless, I am fairly seasoned. And so wherever I've gone amongst, here I go, I've been breaking the list down for weeks. Now, if you go on any application, if you want to apply for a pair of shoes you can't afford, that I'm telling you, I've seen it. A pair of shoes you can't afford. Are you Hispanic? Are you Latin American? Do you speak Spanish? Are you of a Hispanic? Are you Cuban or et cetera, et cetera? Are you from Mexico? Do you have Latinos in your family? It just goes on. It's just a whole page. I mean, no exaggeration. Sometimes a whole page to question you on certain applications if you know anybody Spanish, if you speak Spanish. Are you Hispanic, El Salvadorian, Puerto Rican, or some other persuasion of Spanish? So those great statements have been put out. But I have gone amongst them at every turn in the road, from the workplace in construction, especially where I do work every day, and all of those Hispanic spots where we've been in politics together, where we've been on the bus and trains together, and everywhere I've turned in the road and saw more than one Hispanic speaking, and if a black person spoke up and said something, they would call him a goddamn monkey, or they would say something else derogatory. Without any exception, always whispering something under. They'll say a little bit of English, then they'll whisper to each other and say something derogatory about black people. I've never found an exception. And now that just came to light. So it is of no surprise whatsoever to Sheikh Imam Akbar. And all of those trying to appease and can we just do the Rodney King shuffle, we can all get along. Well, goddamn it, if we were all getting along, we wouldn't have to go through all this process of osmosis and transitional transformation and all of these other acting like you want voters' rights act. And there you are. So those things right now are under examination, as well as City Council of Los Angeles, because they've just challenged one black man. You can give his name. I know it, but say his name again. The other one, he's just been put on charges. Mark Ridley Thomas has been put up on charges this year. And for the Congress, let me get her name set. She's the most popular household word in America on the Congressional Black Caucus. From Los Angeles, representative.
It must be those waters.
The muddy waters or the swimming waters. But our National Minister of Justice has checked her this year in the midst of her iniquities. I'm in the state of South Carolina right now checking Jesse James Clyburn. Has never said one syllable. All the hate crimes, all those, they might as well be doing the hate crimes back-to-back in his fucking living room. I'm giving it to you straight. And so all of these things have to be examined under Black Panther scrutiny at this hour. All of them, we will not let them off the fucking hook. I'm telling you, if any Panthers seen letting one of these bastards off the hook, they are in trouble. They have to report to my office immediately, and I'll land my plane right there where we can, all the goats can get at it and let y'all expound upon. What do you see in the situation of the is she Hispanic, Puerto Rican, Mexican, El Salvadorian, Cuban, whichever of Hispanic persuasion? Does she just speak Spanish, or she's just regular Spanish from Madrid, Spain? But whatsoever, what is our Hispanic councilwoman? Give me your comments, as Dr. Krukatru Bay has brought to light something that has been hidden under the rug for far too long, and thank you for allowing me to say my few syllables and the contribution to our Black Power Radio tonight. Thank you.
Hey, well, Mr. Akbar, Ms. Krukatru Bay, I'm right here in South Carolina. This is Ty. I was in Atlanta last week, and I was talking to a Spanish guy, and I brought it to light to him. I was like, look, man, we outnumber white people together. Hispanics and blacks together outnumber white people. And see, right now, that's what they're afraid of. So what they want to do, they want to try to have us. See, on the East Coast and the West Coast, it's a little bit different. So I've noticed trends over the years. I'm 40 years old. I noticed that they'll try a trend out in California and see if it works. And then it'll move toward this side of the country. If it works good, they'll move it toward this side of the country. Gentrification, they talked about that back in the 90s when they was doing Boys in the Hood. It's just now starting to happen on this side of the country, just different topics or whatever the case may be. But this is my whole thing. I try to transfer the energy from, yeah, Spanish people are racist against blacks. I try to transform that into energy like, hey, we need to get along. That way we can conquer the people that really don't like us at all. Because, yeah, a lot of whites look at Spanish people like they black too. If you're non-white, they look at you like you're nothing. You get what I'm saying? So their biggest fear is the blacks and the Spanish people getting together. So, yeah, we might have to get together and then after we get, you know, not to say get rid of them, but after we conquer, then have to fight it out amongst each other. I done said too much, though, but at the same time, you get what I'm saying? We need to learn, put our energy on making sure that people know we're not each other's enemy. The Spanish people around here, I let them know, hey, look, the black man ain't your enemy. You got to look at the other people who really don't like you, and they really want to treat you just like black people, but they're not going to do it just yet. They're going to use you just like they use the Indian, just like they use the black man. They want to use, they're using the Mexican man right now to do all the dirty work the black man don't want to do, the roofs, the plumbing, just anything the black man don't. Then when they finish using them up and have them fight against the black man, then, see what I'm saying? But for right now, we got to let them know we're not the enemy. We need to team up together. And one way we can do it, yeah, they talk shit about us, but what we can do, we can learn Spanish. I try to learn Spanish, you know what I'm saying? I got the app, I talk to people, I study Spanish. That way they can't sit there in front of me and be like, yeah, we're about to whoop his ass. I can know what they're saying. I can act like I don't, hey, me no speaking no Espanol. Me poquito Espanol, you know what I'm saying? I can do that too. Like they act like they can't speak English, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, y'all get what I'm saying though. Let's learn Spanish.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Let's let them know that we're not the enemy, show them who the real enemy is, and then after we take care of that, then we can fight amongst each other for the crown, you know what I'm saying? But until then, I'm here to let you know we can make them allies, at least for the moment. I mean, that's with my little bit of perception where I'm from out here in the countryside, how things are going here, right now they need us over here on this side of the country. They hadn't got to that point where they're at in Los Angeles, you know what I'm saying, to where they're getting all the big money and that they're starting to switch over and flip on us and all that, not realizing that if it wasn't for us, they wouldn't be here. You know, like I let the dude know the last week in Atlanta, hey, man, we died so y'all could just come to school and get food stamps and housing or go to the hospital or whatever like that. Black people died so people of color, period, Chinese, whatever, can get these benefits or whatever like that. And he understood. He said, yeah, man, I know. I was like, man, make sure your people know, you know, we're not the enemy, you know what I'm saying? Know who your real enemy is.
Right on, brother. I do agree with you to a point where we do need to let them know we're allies, but at what cost? You don't think they don't know the agenda that America has for blacks? Now, even Hispanics that were born and raised in the same hood, because you have a lot of Hispanic families that did, you know, coincide back in the 50s and 60s during the before and after the Watts riot, we did have a strong alliance with the Hispanic family, with especially the Mexican and black. There was an alliance there at one point in time, but once the drugs, the crack, and the agenda stopped pouring in, it was do or die. It was like, okay, Hispanics, do you want a little piece of the pie? Or do you want to die in extermination as we're trying to do with these black folks? So many a times when you do have maybe one or two that may have a good heart, then listen, as a whole, I find it very, it's going to be very difficult to really have that black and brown unison as has been spoken about for many years. It really boils down to the survival of the fittest. It's nothing personal. I think as human beings, we have a spirit of survival. So when it really boils down to it, do you want you and your family to prosper, or do you want to just go on knowing that the enemy has more power in, let's say, I wouldn't say power in the spiritual sense or if we do come together, but I'm saying resources right now. White supremacy has our money, has our materials, has everything in the federal government. When it comes to taxes, they have all of our work. So therefore, they try to make sure that black communities are deprived of just the basic necessities. So when our children become adults, they will always be the lowest performing class, and that's by design. And this is why leaving this governance, I would say, not giving value to it by creating our own governance, self-determination, that has always been the key. When the Panthers started in 1966, there was no other message but to have our own everything. And that is what Huey P. Newton started to fight for. That's what they really, that was their main goal, was for us to be self-governed. And so along the way, of course, the infiltrators had to be sent in. You think they only sent white infiltrators? Do you think they only sent black-faced infiltrators? No. You had a lot of Hispanic so-called alliances that were just as bad. They weren't just as exposed as much as white supremacists was, but still you had agents amongst them infiltrating just the same. And so I don't want us to lose our guard for not one minute, black family, when I tell you. There are no alliances on any planet that is going to be as strong as an all-black alliance. And it's not being mean. It's not, you know, speaking negative. It's speaking truth. And if we don't know by now that all we have is each other and to work towards the goal of building what we have with each other, then we definitely might as well just die today. We must carry forward with the fervor that we can give back. That's why I say it's important, black family, that you must be involved in politics, because politics is what determines what you get in your community. They determine on how your neighborhoods are ran. And they stated before, even attending the Gaffney City Council was extremely important. Because you want to make sure that these officials know that we are the ones that put you in that seat. And so when that doesn't happen, you have exposure just like this that happens. So I have only one message for this here America, this here United Snakes of America, that reparations is the only key, and that you need to give us our money. And in the honor of Rihanna, I think Rihanna said it best. You better have my money. Got to say to Biden and them, state governor, assemblyman. Woo! Congressman, reparations, you better have our money. That's all they need to say from this point on. And I yield the mic.
Hey, Dr. Critical Trubé, I think this right here, if the black man valued the black woman more, you know what, so many different races wouldn't dislike us. That's just like you said, back in the day, there were some alliances between the Spanish and the black. I'm going to tell you why the Spanish guys don't like black guys, because the Spanish guys will, you know what I'm saying, mess with their women. I was going to say it in a different way, but, you know what I'm saying, respect to everybody, you know, women on the phone and stuff like that. But if we value the black woman more, then some of the problems that we get from different races, we won't even have them. But at the end of the day, I'm going to let that go right there, and I'm going to say this right here because I always talk about education. I, for example, the PPP loans and stuff like that in this area right here. People, the black people that got their PPP loans, okay, what they do with the money. If you gave, and look, I heard somebody say this right here. I'm 40 years old. I heard somebody say this about 30 years ago. If you gave everybody an equal amount of money in about 1 year to 5 years, the same people that got the money now will have the money again, and the same people that's broke will be broke again. You know why? It's all about, you get what I'm saying from what I just said. You know what I'm saying? It's all about changing the way you are. I mean, are we going to get all that money, reparation money? What are we going to do? Buy fancy shoes, fancy car? The first thing some of the young black men do, and that's why I'm educating people in this area, how to build a credit, how to buy a home, how to do a resume, job interview, what to do when you get money. You know what I'm saying? If we do the same old things expecting a different result, that's insanity. Buying shoes, cars. Yeah, man, I'm about to get me a nice wood, throw some music in it, big wheels on it, gold chain. Man, you got to know what to invest in. Invest in land. Invest in houses.
I'm glad you
something
said that,
gonna,
brother. I mean, I'm sorry, I didn't want to interrupt, but I agree with you 100% that, yes, there need to be some discipline when it comes to spending. But we must first get to that bridge that we are on right now to cross it, because there are businesses, there are responsible organizations, there are people out there that know how to manage money. And when we put it out there that we are a group of people that are unable to do so, that reiterates the stigma that they have on us already. We have lawyers, we have rocket scientists, we have doctors that are black, that are 10 times smarter than their competitors and than non-blacks will ever be. But we are not given that platform or that equity to show forth that. They always want to portray us, and that's why Hollywood and media was so important for the Jews to take over that department, because to reiterate the black man as a violent criminal on these TV shows 9 times out of 10, and they want to throw us a Black Panther every 400 years as if that's going to redeem the portrayal of what they think of us, then, you know, that's where we fall short. So overall, the reparations here in California, and this is something that I want for every state to take on, is HUD. We need to focus on housing and urban development. Why? Because it is HUD that is responsible for housing when it comes to housing as a human right nationwide. It is the federal dollars that your state is using right now to subsidize or even create low-income housing. You see? Now, if we attack the enemy by the roots, which is HUD, and question why in my state that 59% of homeless happen to be black, why are we over half representative in incarceration? Why is a lot of foster children low-income black children? It's because those are the means that white supremacy put in place in order for them to continue to make money off of us. Just because chattel slavery was officially ended in the 1850s, so they say, slavery in itself or being enslaved has never ended. And so we have a plan. We have a request for HUD here in L.A. to return the $150 million that the federal government gave to Los Angeles to house the homeless. And instead of housing the homeless, they said, oh, well, and these are a few handful of white folks born and raised in the Valley have no relation to blacks whatsoever. These are people that have probably never been homeless, born with a silver spoon. They are the ones that's in position determining how this money that's given by the federal government is going to be used. And so they cut out black businesses, black organizations like us. We are our housing and homeless service provider in Los Angeles. So we know very well the homeless dollars that are coming here and that are not being distributed correctly, $150 million worth that was discovered to be sent back. So my issue is with Marsha Fudge. This black face that they like to put, before it was Ben Carson, another black person, but they're not running HUD. It is Biden. It is white supremacists that is putting these people in place to make it seem like, oh, we are overcoming. We're having black people in these high places when actually the Congressional Black Caucus can tell you right there. These are the most geriatric seniors that I've ever seen in this form of government that are put there since the early 70s to block, destroy, redirect, to delay. However their tactics is, that's what their job is. And that is worse than any white supremacy can come to my face. You know what they're about. But when they hide and put their our black-looking faces in place, 10 times worse. But now this is all being uncovered. And that's why I say I'm grateful for audio like that to be exposed to show who they really are. And now we got to take action. I should tell you, now is the time to take action, right? So that's why I say they have nothing else to say to us. I'm certainly not going to present any more homeless strategies to the city of L.A. or the county after I've heard live and direct what you really feel about me. So now I just say, hey, like I said, better have my money. You pay me what you want.
Hey, Dr. Critical Truth Day, let me ask you this, right? Well, let me tell you this right here. I'm on the other side of the country. I need you, you know what I'm saying, because your opinion is different from mine, and the situations there is different, but the situations always, in my mind, seem to migrate this way. So I'm going to tell you what I think about the system around here. Okay, mm-hmm. So the people around here think that the Republicans are the ones that's racist. But inside my mind, I'm going to tell you something. The Democrats are the ones that's racist. I'm going to tell you why. They hook up the blacks with housing, food stamps, things of that nature. Now, around, I don't know about around y'all way in New York or Los Angeles, Texas or whatever, but when you provide the people around here with housing authority, what they call the other one, Section 8, that's where you can get a voucher for a house. It pays out a certain amount. It makes people around here lazy. So it makes the people not fully capacitate themselves to be what they really could be, because they look at it like this. Man, why should I go to school, go to college to be this right here and have to work when the government going to give me a free, nice, brand-new house? Food stamps, mm-hmm. They're going to give you a certain amount of taxes every year, whatever like that. And then what does that do to the black family structure? The woman don't need a man now. So
right.
They can have – a man can't stay there, and they don't need a man. So there's a man there 1 week or 1 month, and then there's another man. So then you got diseases spreading, you know what I'm saying? You got HIV, you got different diseases. But then also the kids see men coming in and out of the house. But then the whole point is there's no man there to raise the kids. So then when the boys get a little bit older, then they end up in jail, and then the cycle just repeats itself. But all I'm saying is, like, this happened in this town right here, and a lady wrote a book. I'm gonna make sure y'all get that book or whatever like that. But from what I see, my perception is, whenever the white people come along and give people stuff, really they just doing it to damage everything. I wonder what it would be like if nobody in my town was given free housing. I guess what? They have to stay with their family. It'll be more of an incentive to stay with one man. The black family structure, people will have to be strong again. Back in the day, really, to be honest with you, back in the day, because I studied up on it, in my town, all the projects was all white. They used to give the projects to the white people, you know, hook them up with the food stamps. Black people couldn't even get that stuff. And back then, you didn't see no homeless black people. You didn't, because we took care of each other just like the Indians. How many people, Indian people, you see in the projects? None, really.
Mm-hmm. And
you know what I'm saying? How many Chinese people
that?
You see in the projects? Uh-huh.
Yeah. What do you say Indian? Are you talking about Native Indian or are you talking about India Indian?
I'm just saying, like, in my area, you don't really see any. Now, you'll see it's give and take to everything, you know what I'm saying? So you might see one, but I can't name that one. I'm walking through a project right now. There's so many projects here, but there's also a whole lot of colleges here for the size of this town. And I'm going to show you that on paper and everything like that. But I'm talking about it's not really that many Indian people that's in the projects because they take care of their family. And the leaders
right.
of the tribes or the families or whatever, they make sure that the people are disciplined and they do what they're supposed to be doing. That way there's no homeless
mm-hmm.
really around here. I mean, I don't know about out that way, but, you know, people out here, we used to take care of each other, the people of my family and everything like that. We took care of each other, so there's no people in my family that stays in the projects right now. None of us stay in the projects.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody work. I'm talking about, I got a whole, man, my family's so big. I'm talking about, we got a big old family, but
mm-hmm.
that's just the way I see it. I wonder if right now, if the people like Donald Trump and I'm not saying I like him, but I'm just saying some of the assholes that want to take shit away to hurt us, let's just say they did somehow get the up and up and get the power and they took away free housing and food stamps. What would these people have to do? They have to get off their ass. They have to study. They would have to stick together instead of them moving out their mama house at 18, like, oh, yeah, I can get me a, I'm about to fill out an application for an apartment. You fill out an application for a free apartment before you fill out a job application or before you fill out a free college. Man, there's so many different grants you can get and different monies you can get. Go to school and then leftover money from the books and stuff like that, you can take that money and buy a car with. But before people fill out them things or try to look in between the papers or look online to find grants and scholarships, they hurry up and run and fill out a paper to get a free apartment. And then what do? They party, use drugs, and get fat, and use food stamps, and then they don't fully capacitate themselves. Man, you could be a doctor. You could be a lawyer. You could be whatever. We're going to say a police officer, even though the Black Panthers don't fuck with police officers. But at the end of the day, we ain't got to fuck with them, but we need more of them. Because right now, when I get in my car in a minute, I've been drinking. I hope I get pulled over by a black person. There's somebody that's like, yeah, fuck that. He got a CDL license. I'm about to burn his ass. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. And that's understandable.
See, you hear it loud and clear.
Yeah, it's understandable because HUD, it goes back to HUD and the federal government. These low-income housing, they have stipulations on it and where, yeah, they remove the father out the home. And so we got to combat that. We can change the guidelines that HUD has. Again, they are part of a government that we got to regulate. And if we don't regulate them by being present, by acknowledging their roles, knowing who's running these departments, we got to be on top of this. Because when we address the enemy, the oppressor, we better know the oppressor by name. By name, with that being said. You know, so that I do commend you for guys for doing a great job of trying to bring everyone together, and we have to continue to do that. But it is, revolution is a constant job. It is not a once and when I feel good or when the camera's there. It is a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week job to be a revolutionary. Ain't that right, Imam? You still there, sir? All right.
Hey, okay,
said,
I got
from you, buddy.
Yes, ma'am. That's absolutely right.
I was
going
to go into a little musical break in a minute.
Go ahead. You're supplying the music tonight. It's wonderful. I love that first
Miss,
one.
Critical True Bay, Miss Critical True Bay, I don't try to go against what you're saying. I'm just giving my opinion, and I truly believe in everything you're saying, too. And, yeah, I agree, and I have applied some of your tactics and everything. I've been trying to be present in the city council meetings. Like you say, learn the language. Also, yeah, it was a guy that moved down from Charlotte, North Carolina, and moved down to South Carolina, and he took over the HUD in Spartanburg. I forgot his name. I've been wanting to meet him and everything like that. So, yeah, you're right. We need to be more present and active in these certain things. But I still do have a bit of an opinion, and I just got a test test and see what's going to be best for now, for here. Because
that's
of the
right.
circumstances, and then it might move and change a little bit later, but I'm going to use your tactics, mine, and read up on some and put it all together until I figure out what the best way to go with certain things are.
That's it. It's really, it's just about retaining information. It's not an overnight thing, especially as blacks. We have to train ourselves how to even listen to city council meeting because it's foreign, and it's quite boring if you really – you know, I'm not in tune with the agendas. But the way that city councils are held when they talk about the agenda and they talk about voting and they say tabulate the votes, close the roll, aye, all of that stuff is beautiful language. When I see my black kids running a mock city hall, this is our ultimate goal is to have a policy school. And this is where I direct to Dr. Umar Johnson and the FDMG school to have a branch of a policy school, whether it be online or in person. But this is the education that we want to give our kids, especially with the public school systems that is below garbage. It's below par line. Teaching your kids drag queen story time and your kids know about their sexuality before they know their ABCs. It's just a hot, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah right now in these elementary, junior and high schools. So we can't even depend on the public school system to remotely teach our kids anything. So really everything has to be a learning experience. So I do encourage my young black boys and girls, young women and men, whatever you do in your life, take the time to focus on your local politics. It could be something as small as just as a city council. But when you're consistent on knowing who is there, what their agenda is, you create your own agenda, put it on that council's agenda because you are the people. And because we're not using that platform quite often, they don't expect us to be in those rooms. That's why when they are elected officials, they definitely say, oh, we're not going to do anything just for black people. We're going to do something for everybody. That is Obama and Harris. That's their response. And, of course, if we are not proactive, they're going to continue to say, yeah, we're going to do it for everybody, you know, fuck the blacks. But with that, I want to get Iman's opinion on that. But before we go to that, we will have a quick musical break. You are listening to Black Power Radio every Sunday and Monday, bringing you the most informative news that you'll find here on the planet.
Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, y'all. This is Black Torture Boss, Jay from around the way, and you're listening to WAKE Radio, spreading tunes across your rooms. From Marvin Gaye to Hathaway, from Nina Simone to Pendergrass, we pay tribute to the legends of the past and introduce the legends of the future. Special big up to my man Johnny Stevens, who shares his passion with us every day. Wake up, New York.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking of the thinking ahead. The world's changed so very much from what it used to be. There is so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, yeah.
The teacher to make. Maybe stand and listen to what you have.
Catch all
the hell.
So bad. Lord. Before that judgment day, the one should make them happy before they pass away. Oh, yeah.
That was Wake Up Everybody, John Legend style, one of my favorite songs of a remake classic. Very relevant for today. So I want to thank you for listening to Black Power Radio, where we'll be your informative radio news station / everything you need to know, Blog Talk Radio, with your host, Imam Sheikh Akbar. Imam, are you still on the line?
We're right here with you. And with all of this, is it, did we leave anyone out of the equation that's unmuted? I think if Black Lightning is still with us, did he have an opinion on the city council that resigned as of this morning? Or is he still with us?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Black Wow. Yeah. No, I was on it.
Yeah.
I'm watching that. And I'll say, yeah, they should have just, I just feel like they should have stayed put. So that we could put them out, you know? They need to get evicted. They don't need to walk out.
Yeah.
They need to be ushered out, you know, with security.
Yeah, well, one down. The main one is down. Main one is down, but there's still others that's there. So I agree. And we'll find out tomorrow. I'll give you an update.
Hey, miss, can I ask you a question real quick since that, before I forget what I got to say? With that being said about they need to be evicted, this is a question right here. You know how some officers, they might do something, and then what they can do, they can go to another jurisdiction and get a job. If somebody resigns, can we kind of, like, put some kind of note in there on them? That way they can't go somewhere else. Oh, I didn't get fired. I resigned. So they're able to go somewhere else and get a job? Or can we get a law to where if an officer does something that's fucked up and he's forced to resign or he resigns on his own, that he can't go to another jurisdiction, another state, another city and get the same kind of job and do a repeat thing? Again, that's the kind of law I want to get in effect right there.
Well, actually, that law is would be effective. Law enforcement is really the only organization that can disappear and change their jurisdiction and they can get a bad rap, but as a city council, your name is public. So it's kind of hard for you to get another job in another city without people doing quick research on a city council person.
So right now, their best bet, Nuri Martinez, I'm sure she's going to retire if they don't continue to use our taxes to, you know, still keep them afloat, as they do with many corrupted politicians here. They still keep their pension, and that's where the law, and I agree with you 1,000%, we need to create a law that attacks their pension. And that's where when you hit them in the pocketbook, that's the most effective way. So I have to look and see if there actually are any current laws or statutes here in California that allows the pension to be taken, but I doubt there is.
Yeah, and I think that they should be replaced with candidates that we choose. And I think they should let them know that we will march side by side, like Adam Clayton Powell said, we'll march side by side with you or through you. You know, so we got the votes, we got the manpower to campaign and say they helped, they tried to look out for the best what's best for Black folks, or we can campaign against them and let everybody know they didn't do a damn thing to help us, and why are they still in still sitting there in that seat. And having one of them crazy memories, like I keep telling everybody, I remember what the mayor said. We want them out of there. We just going to go straight to the governor, you know, and take it straight to the federal level after that. And little do they know, we can go down to Capitol Hill anytime we want, you know. And that's when you really get some stuff done, you know. So I'm applauding all the great work you're doing down there, Sister Justice, and I think they really messed up. Didn't they know you was watching? How can they possibly think that we don't speak English? I mean, that we don't speak Spanish a little poquito, like my brother say, at least poquito, you know? But right. I was sitting there thinking also that just like we got some Uncle Ruckus, we got Uncle Ruckus in the Black community, you know they're going to have the Uncle Ruckus on the Spanish side too. I mean, some of them Brown Berets, they come to our events and they show solidarity with us. But, you know, there's some Spanish people, when I went and I talked to them and I was showing them how we had pictures with the Brown Berets and in solidarity, and they didn't even know who the Brown Berets were. And I was like, well, that's no surprise. There's some Black folks that don't even realize that there's Black Panthers out here. They're like, oh, wasn't that back in the 60s? It's like, man, they it's like you, like they say, you want to hide it, I got to put it in a book. They'll miss it. You know what I mean? Unless it's the Bible, of course, then, you know, that's what we should do. Tuck some of this away as a little dropout, like they have them dropouts in the magazines. When you open the magazines, little thing dropout, we should put them in the Bible, you know, some Black Panther literature. So when they open it up, they can see what's happening, you know? I mean, let God open the eyes and the ears, but if you're not listening or looking, you're not going to see it, you're not going to hear it anyway. So I've seen some Ricky Ricardos out there, that's what I call them. They want to be white so bad, just like Uncle Ruckus want to be white so bad, you know? And then you got some white folks that ain't even for that. Some white folks ain't down with Uncle Ruckus. They want to accept Uncle Ruckus, whether he's Spanish or Black. And that's just another way of saying somebody who support the white power structure, or just the power structure in general, you know, somebody who rooting for Rodney King to get killed by the police, somebody rooting for the police, somebody who's wearing, like that Black dude that was down there wearing the MAGA hat at the insurrection, you know, and they showed him he wanted to show solidarity and be the only
buffoon, homogenized, pasteurized Uncle Ruckus up in there, and they showed him by giving him more time than they gave anybody else. Whatever the judge say, he's going to give you a little bit extra on that one. But say, okay, we're going to show him that we ain't down with that. Yeah, so they showed him. So when he get up there wearing his MAGA hat and his Confederate flag, and he get there and he get in the cell with them real MAGA hatters and them real Confederate flags, he going to wish that he had just stayed black. So anyway, Black Power, just want to throw that in. That's all. Black Power. And power to the people. And power to the people. I yield the mic to you all. Black Power.
Black Power, Black Power. Thank you so much, Minister of Defense. That is Black Lightning, giving us words of wisdom. Now, I just came across one of the videos of our youth that was talking about this Black and Brown Alliance. And the reason why we're bringing this up, if you have missed, that today at LA City Council, we had President Neri Martinez, who was exposed using racial slurs to describe black people, her constituents in Los Angeles, which caused her to resign. I believe she's been there about 6-7 years, resigned as of this morning. So this is a heavy blow to LA politics, or politrics, more appropriate to say. That it shows that the Hispanics, at least here in California, have their own mindset on how they view persons of African descent. And so calling us monkeys and stuff like that was not a shock, as Imam and many of us believe. We know that this is how they are because that's how some of us are treated in public. But the fact that it was from a council president, this is turning because this is the highest form of LA City governance. So we'll see tomorrow. LA City will be back in session. And I will try to see if we can do live, but if not, there will be videos pertaining who is there after the aftermath of Nuri's resignation this morning. So moving forward to HUD, Imam, if you don't mind, I wanted to go to a segment on housing and urban development. But beforehand, I would like to share a poem, Shanika Hodges. Power to the people.
Power to the people.
All right. Here we go.
About to attend a funeral service tomorrow for Lazelle Lane of, he's actually of Gaffney, South Carolina. He was executed, murdered in broad daylight over in Spartanburg. And we, the people, are looking into this matter as we speak.
Lazelle Lane? Can you tell us a little bit about?
Yes.
L-A-Z-E-L, what happened with this young man?
Lane of Gaffney, by way of Brooklyn, New York. So it becomes an interesting phenomenon for my money, regardless of where or who the speaker is. It's an extremely interesting phenomenon.
Okay, well, we definitely want to hear more of the outcome. Any life lost? Census has to be highlighted, and this is something that we must really take seriously. What is our purpose moving forward? There's so much that's going to change in 2023 coming up, Black family, and we must prepare ourselves. We must have adequate food and water and just basic resources at hand. Because what's happening in these wars coming up, we cannot take for granted tomorrow, it's promised. And so if we do our part, as we stated before, reiterate politics in your life and create
a local governance in your own town. Start from small. And then when we come together, there is a reparations hearing coming up November 5th. Family, I don't know if you've heard about it, but Tariq Nasheed is having some sort of reparations march in Washington, D.C. So we'll talk more about it next week as we go in further detail. But there is one happening, I believe, October 16th, coming up next week as well. And this is also in line of reparations marching. I don't know why Tariq and, I believe, Naeem is this other group, Reparations League Committee, that's holding the one on October 16th. But I want to hear from you if you have heard of the Reparations March coming up November 5th in D.C. What's your thoughts about this march? What will come of it? How will it be organized? You know, so a lot of things that we'll discuss in the next couple of weeks, coverage. So anyone, if anyone's on the line, want to chime in on their thoughts on this upcoming reparations march being held in Washington, D.C., November 5th.
Well, there you have it, beloved brothers and sisters. We have been, again, privy to certain amounts of information, and the timing puts Black Power Radio on the top 10 for responding to an issue that may be 30 seconds, 40, 50, but 60,000 body bags, beloved. You must be kidding me, mama.
Right on. All right, so I want to have another break, musical break. This is Tanika Hodges and Black Power to the People.
Hey. Let's call a pitchfork a pitchfork.
Black Power, Black Power.
Let's call a spade a spade.
Can you hear?
Let's call a pitchfork a pitchfork. Let's just say we know what a posse look like, what a mob can do. We know about chasing ghosts. We know about finding ourselves in dark rooms. We know about safety and numbers. Let's admit that the town's people ain't never been afraid of the giant, that the body has always been bigger than the head, that the power has always been with, of, and for the people. So let's just tell the truth. Let's just be honest. Let's talk back. Let's march to infirmary, let's outline some points, and let us speak of police who will step over our sleeping children to shoot their fathers and ask why they woke, and ask why we have guns. We cannot forget how whales sound escaping from a siren or a boy. Let us call little Bobby's name. Let's call little Bobby's mama. Let's put her on the phone with Wanda Johnson or Sabrina Fulton. Let's talk about how easy it is to choke, how America's bravest mass shooting is durational, collective. Let's say wounded knee and never again. Let's say move on HQ and never again. Let's say it in the same breath as Flint, in the same water as everywhere we have been drowned. Let's say America and mean necessarily the trail we wept to get here, the choppy ocean that fought to kill us. Let's say Los Angeles and Philadelphia and Accra and mean the parts of the world who knew revolution as we did, black and impoverished and just coming back from a war like always. Say, let's talk about money as if the first U.S. bailout wasn't stocked in the hull of a slave ship. Oh, but we ain't supposed to talk about that. We ain't supposed to talk about cotton. We ain't supposed to talk about that gin. We ain't supposed to talk about Jim Crow. We're supposed to be post. We ain't supposed to ask for what's owed. We're supposed to be thankful to a tyrant. We're supposed to kowtow. We're supposed to back down. We're supposed to not talk about our ache or what we've missed or how we ain't never had a language or a flag or even a proper family reunion. We are never going to know the names of the people who died for us to live in terror. Let us admit that the idea of Africa is still an offense punishable by death. We are not to dream of going home, not to speak of what has been stolen, not to feed our children, not even to let our hair take flight. We ain't supposed to do anything but die. Not nothing. We supposed to die. We supposed to not even know we supposed to die. We supposed to not speak that we know we're supposed to die. We're supposed to watch our sisters rub crack chalk on their eyes. We supposed to sit and eat stale crust and look on from the outside. What kind of party is that? Let's start our own. We supposed to sit here and wait till somebody let us? Let us stop waiting on freedom like it's a whooping cough. Stop hoping freedom is going to court us on a Thursday date night. Quit crossing our legs and biting our time and biting our nails. It's our birthright, and they will lie to us and tell us we are violent for wanting peace. Peace is our dowry. We wed to a democracy that keeps taking off its ring. We married to a decadent system that mocks squalor and honor. We saw what they do to our leaders. We see how they're trying to string us up. There are bodies on the asphalt. There are members in holding. There are lines drawn all around us, and they're closing in tight. There's a courthouse. There's a free breakfast.
There's Emery's pen. There are Tarika's fingers, Sonia's poems, and Bobby's plans in kitchen. There are instruments of light and joy. There are folks waiting on orders. There are children in the hallway singing songs about our mothers. These blues people in their black leather. There are teenagers sneaking into our meetings. There are old folks who are both afraid and resentful. They didn't do this first, but some did. Some dusted off their pistols and got right to it. Right here on Grover MLK. Right here on 10th Street. Right here out front of McClyman's and Merritt. Come on, real revolution. Come, real revolution. Come, real fire and fake alibi. Come some Sunday when some brother comes to with a visceral realization that he lost sanity to a country that would have his breath on a plaque, would have his head without thinking and mounted. He's either going to want to get even or get freedom. The whole universe stands to benefit if this black man is. The truth of the matter is white folks' freedom depends on ours, and we've outgrown a binary that excludes all other comrades. We're talking about all the people, all the people, all the people. Let's take all the power, all the power, all the power, all the people, all the people, all the people, all the power, all the power, all the power, all power to the people.
To continue your listening pleasure, Imam. I don't know if you're back there. But let's go to Sam Cook, shall we?
Thank you.
All right, changes don't come. Classic tale. Imam, CJ, Dynamite, my phone's still on you.
Well, I don't know.
Thank
you. That's
a nice book.
Do
you want it?
That's fairly important. It's $25 book.
$25.
No. But that's a book. It's a fairly important book.
I can give you an account number.
Okay, well, that's getting us right back on cue, and we hope that you again have enjoyed what you have heard so far. But nevertheless, this is again your episode of Black Power Radio. We're on our way to the state of South Carolina. We have acquisitions, we have land acquisitions, we have declarations, we have a decree, and we want this date. There's no mistaking what we are saying, because South Carolina again was the first to succeed from the so-called Union. I have had the grand opportunity to visit the place where Trayvon Martin was executed, the place where Eric Garner was executed or murdered, the place where Michael Brown was murdered, the place where Tamir Rice was murdered, the place where our great Senator Clemente Pinckley and nine of his parishioners were all murdered in broad daylight. And I am here to tell you that it, again, was no picnic, but again, they wanted to pick a nigger. This was the thing they were out to do, to execute one of our brightest and one of our best. They have always aimed at our brightest and our best, and they take target practice on murdering our brightest and our best. They have failed to miss the target with names such as Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Malcolm X, as the list goes on, to our beloved brother who was executed in Buffalo, New York, the one who has invented the water engine. So if that's it, we were right black here with you. We have some technical difficulties earlier, but we're right on point at this point, and we are just so happy that we're here on Black Power Radio on Monday. Again, if you want to reach us, the telephone number is 515-605-9889. Again, our telephone number to reach us here at Black Power Radio is 515-605-9889. So now, am I calling on Brother Black Lightning? Am I calling on our beloved sister? I'm just trying to get all the boards straight here as we continue to make our motions and do our due diligence to get everyone black on air. We're just not sure who's still with us and who is not. And with that said, we're powered up, we're fired up, and on the way to Daphne Spartanburg on down in the Greenville, South Carolina. We're on the move, that Dr. Critical Truth Bay. So you can talk black to us from L.A. because, we're not finished with putting our boot in the behind of Maxine Waters and the behind of Jesse James Clyburn and old wooden tooth Leslie Graham, or is it Lindsey Graham? It's one of those Grahams. He's a Graham with ham, So therefore, we are Black Power Radio, Facebook, Twitter, Glitter, Instagram, and Know-How. And we're going to get after us some Leslie Graham, or as it were, Lindsey Graham, one of those Grahams. It's not like Graham Bell. You know, you see, I got a hankering to talk to somebody that ain't even here, by God. But here we are. We're Black to our beloved doctor in Los Angeles, California, Dr. Critical Truth Bay, with her update from L.A., just as we always do. Black Power.
All right. Power to the people. So we're just wrapping up on breaking news in Los Angeles. City Council President Miri Martinez was caught exposed on a private audio describing her Black constituents in Los Angeles City. So if you have missed the recap, we shall listen to one of the breaking news earlier today.
This controversy erupted. There have been so many calls for Nuri Martinez to resign, not only by elected leaders, but also community members, and that's exactly what has just happened. Take a look at the statement that Martinez released a short time ago. It announced her resignation, effective immediately, saying in part, "As someone who believes deeply in the empowerment of communities of color, I recognize my comments undercut that goal. Going forward, reconciliation will be my priority. I've already reached out to many of my Black colleagues and other Black leaders to express my regret in order for us to heal."
I'm going to replay this. You got to hear this again, Black family. So President Council Hispanic woman, Mary Martinez, who just recently was giving accolades to Heather Hutt, who was our first Black woman city council that was elected a couple weeks ago. And, of course, the person giving the speech of the day was Miri Martinez, and how she was so proud of that moment because now Black and brown are able to rule together in city council. You know, just wonderful words that were teary-eyed. And then just yesterday on October 9th, an audio was leaked by an organization, and God bless this organization. They're called Knock LA. Knock LA exposed this hidden audio of Miri Martinez in a meeting with two other Hispanic councils, Gil Cedillo and Kevin De Leon. And in short, they had insulted one of the colleagues' Black son, calling him a monkey and stating that Gascon, who's the district attorney for Los Angeles County, that he's for the Blacks. So they don't want to F with him. And that was her literal words. They don't want to F with him because he represents the Black population. So all of this came out in a flurry of outrage from the state governor, Gavin Newsom, all of the assemblymen, California statesmen, county board of supervisors all weighed in, and they said, you know, racism has no space in our governance when, you know, we as Black people, we just need to just shrug our shoulders and say, okay, we understand, but we live differently. We see our neighborhoods treated less than, so we already know how you really feel about us. But to have someone as in her stature as a president, city council, to use these racial slurs was shattering in LA governance. So it's still a developing story, and I'll keep you up to speed. But you know, your girl, Minister of Justice, is on it. We play no games when it comes to legislation, and so all I have to say is that everyone is going to get everything that they deserve. There'll be no more poverty pimping moving forward, but we will still have to do the work. So shout out to all of the grassroots organizations out there in these streets. You know, we see you. We see you out there, and I want you to continue to hold them accountable. So one of the beauty of these things is that there was a whole group that went to Nuri's house, I believe in Sun Valley. It was like a few Black Lives Matter so-called protests, but nothing like Black Lives Matter, and that's another thing we'll talk about as well later on. But they showed up at her house, at least maybe 40, 50 people. Just can you imagine just waking up to these people shouting out your window, resign, resign, we want you out of here. So, and that's what happened this morning, October 10th, on Columbus Day. out of all days, Black family, that Nery Martinez resigned.
I regret, in order for us to heal, I ask for forgiveness from my colleagues and from the residents of the city that I love so much. Now, here's a portion of that leaked audio where Martinez made racist comments toward Councilman Mike Bonin and his adopted son. This was at an MLK parade.
It's like the only thing on it is that black and brown on the slope. The kid is bouncing off the effing wall on the slope. The president is taking it over. There's nothing you can do to control him. I think I'm evil. This kid is a beatdown.
Now, if you can't hear, this is, I'm going to repeat what she said, Paicho Changuito, something like that, which means a small monkey. And so this is what caused her resignation, was comments like this. And we have to have an honest discussion, Black family, you know, and this is to all our Hispanic allies. If you're listening, shout out to you. Thank you so much for being there. But in honesty, do we really have an alliance? You know, we have to ask ourselves, our Latino brothers and sisters, do we really have an alliance? When it boils down to it, do you really have our back the way that we have not only your back, but literally everybody else who's non-black, right? So if we don't have accountability on a level where we say, you are an elected official in your government, not our government, where chattel slaves weren't even human, we have to realize that if we continue to allow these people to stay in power, nothing will change. So this was a great breakthrough, exposing this audio. And it saddened me, you know, to confirm that, yeah, that's what they really think about us.
Okay, let me take them around the corner, and then I'll bring them back.
Now, that parade was back in 2017, and in attendance, again, was Bonin, his husband, and their child, who were on a float at the time. Martinez, in that recording, also referred to the child as a monkey. The councilman, in a statement, called the comments vile and disgraceful and said that, quote, Martinez attacked her son with horrific racist slurs and talked about her desire to physically harm him. Now, Martinez was also recorded during a meeting in 2021 with other top Latino members of City Council, as well as a high-ranking county labor leader, making derogatory and racist remarks about colleagues, namely LA County DA George Gascon, using an expletive and saying he's with the blacks. The conversation focused mainly on frustration with maps that were proposed for redistricting and concerns over loss of economic assets in current districts. Councilman Mitchell Farrell just spoke out on this matter.
I think that this is a moment of reconciliation for all of us. What we do when no one is looking is the definition of integrity.
Now, the person who is speaking, his name is Mitch O'Farrell. He used to be an actor, and he became the city councilman of the 13th District. So if you're not familiar with LA politics, the city council is made up of 15 different city council districts. So this is Mitch O'Farrell from the 13th, which actually covers Hollywood area. So he's very in tune with the celebrities. But when it comes to local housing and basic human rights, not so much for the people that live in that area.
When no one is looking is the definition of integrity. And this is a violation of that meaning. It's a violation of the trust that we've all given our colleagues, and it's just a really sad.
Oh, here comes the tears.
It's a devastating day for Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Now, Spencer, who recorded this material or why it has now been leaked? We've been inundated with responses by so many city leaders all day. We don't have enough time to share all of them with you, but it is important to point out that Mayor Eric Garcetti responded in a statement saying, quote, there's no place in our city family for attacks on colleagues and their loved ones, and there's no place for racism anywhere in Los Angeles. George Gascon also said in a statement that he was saddened and disappointed by these racist comments and that anti-blackness has no place in Los Angeles.
All right. So that there you have it, family. That's what's popping here in Los Angeles right now. So this week, we may have a whole shift in government in our city council. So we'll keep you updated as well. But it's really a sad day in L.A. right now, because this brings forth the question, do we really have a black and brown alliance? You know, so I want to hear from our audience. You know, this will be the closing question for the next week. What are we to do? And I believe Brother CJ was speaking earlier on, you befriend and let them know, you know, that we come in peace. But when it comes to chattel slavery and the history that this country has done to a specific group of people, and then when that's not acknowledged, that's where the chickens come home to roost, right? And I think Rihanna said it best, you know, you better have my money. There we go. So with that being said, I do implore you to utilize this week and connect with your local governance. And Lizelle Lane, I believe there was a young man that also lost his life. I believe a funeral will be happening for him. Where'd you say it was? In Spartanburg? I believe a group will be going down.
That is, Lizelle Lane lost his life at a, I believe it is the main facility, detention center, in the city of Spartanburg, North Carolina. It was the main detention center, I believe. But we'll be at this.
Yeah, that's Spartanburg, South Carolina. He's from New York. He was coming down here to move with his mother in Gaffney. Spartanburg and Gaffney, about 30 miles away from each other. They booked him into the county jail, 950 California Avenue. Within hours, he was dead. He was found naked.
Oh, wow.
And dead. He walked in, but he was carried out in a body bag and then butchered by, I don't know, somebody trying to cut pieces off his body so they could cut the bruises away, or the places where he was tased multiple times for extended amount of time, periods. And they electrocuted the man. They battered him. They did something to him. And, he's going to be buried tomorrow in Cherokee County. They call Cherokee County Gaffney. It's 1809 Old Post Road, Gaffney. That's Mount Sinai Baptist Church where he's going to.
Okay.
Mount
Gaffney. Can you give that address one more time for those who want to pay respects?
1809 Old Post Road. That's OLDPOST Road, Gaffney, GAFFNEY, South Carolina.
All right.
His mother, his family, you know, they're from New York. They moved down here to have a better life, and look what we have here.
Right. How old
Rednecks
was that?
I think he was like 20. He was late 20s. I think it was 29 or 26, something like that. Too young to die.
29 years old.
21, okay. That's so tragic. And our condolences to the family.
I'm
going to
post this picture up.
Again,
I'll post this picture up for you. Go ahead.
Yes, we'd like to add him to our list of angels with Keisha and now Lizelle, and have the city accounted and build a monument in their honor. I believe that tangible resources is the language now that we must ask for. And if they're not willing to give it, then we have to take it by any means necessary. That's the name of the game. Ain't that right?
Absolutely. By any means. And we must begin to execute every means necessary to bring about truth and justice by any means necessary. Absolutely.
Right on. And so I want to play Rihanna. There's only one thing you got to say to this government here.
Sure, I just pay us our money. We ain't got no time for games right now. All right, so closing in, I want to reel us back to a simple point plan, a 10-point plan, and briefly reiterate what our purpose is as far as discipline. Created a list of objectives, especially with Huey Newton, Fred Hampton. They paid their lives, you know, for us to have some shape of a government that represented all black people all the time. Where they say all the people, all the power. All the power, all the power. All the people is us. We are the ones that have all the power. But we somewhere along the way lost it, gave it up, traded in, whatever we want to call it. We've reached a point now in 2022, black family, that we got to get back what we gave away. So how we do that? We start with discipline. What is your purpose in the area, in the neighborhood that you live in? Are you making a difference? Every day should be that question for a revolutionary to ask themselves. So the 10-point plan begins. You say, number one, we want freedom. We want power to determine the destiny of our black and oppressed communities. Number two, we want full employment of our people. Number three, we want an end to robbery and the capitalist of our black and oppressed communities. Number four, we want decent housing, fit for shelter of human beings. And that's currently why I urge you, black family, to know the housing and urban department in your area. So, for example, South Carolina. South Carolina has about five housing developments, and the headquarters is located on 1835 Assembly Street, the 13th floor in Columbia. Columbia apparently is the city where all of the federal funding goes into housing the homeless for the entire state of South Carolina. So if you are living in a state, I want you to research and give you a little homework. You know, research the HUD department in your state. Where are they located? And the reason why I want you to know this, black family, because it's going to be very important for us to know this when we are acquiring land, when we are working towards land acquisition. And so that's one of the major points as well for us to remember. Without land, we do not exist, right? So that empty lot that's in your neighborhood that's been collecting dust, that has grown full of weeds and garbage and stuff, that huge plot that's been sitting there, can it be turned into a youth center? Can it be turned into a mental health facility? Can it be turned into housing? These are the things that we, black family, must start focusing on from 2023 on, you know, get a hammer and nails, start learning construction. So land acquisition, permanent housing, affordable housing, we want to focus on real estate. So if you are a black business that focuses on real estate, this is especially for you. We want you at the table. We need to identify all of these lots nationwide, create a database, and start building. That really is what our loved ones who are no longer here, they can no longer speak on the things that they want to see. So we have to do our due diligence, black family, to carry on the torch, especially to our war brothers and sisters in prison for over 50 years, prisoners of war. They don't have the freedom in these cages. So we let's not forget them. And the best way to show thanks to our ancestors, thanks to our fallen soldiers, our angels, is to act, not react, but to act. And the action is build that house. Build that house. There's no rules, no regulations. That's off the table. So I want you, black family, to please talk to your children tonight. Start teaching them trades, construction, because this is what is going to matter in the end. It really is going to be a utopia of famine and destruction, but we are not the ones to fall, black family. Don't ever forget, we are the ones that have God on our side. So let's continue and have that. So number five, we want decent education for our people. that exposes the true nature of this decadent American society. We want education that teaches us our true history and our role in the present-day society. Number six, we want completely free health care for all Black and oppressed people. And majority, they do have low health care out there, but the doctors, the hospitals, they really do not care for Black mothers and children as our own. Holistic medicines. These are things that we want to really focus on. We don't want to use prescription drugs. It's Western medicine. This is what's killing us. So start learning how to grow your own gardens, your own food. And so this will be vital, Black family, in 2023. Number eight, we want an immediate end to all wars of aggression. Number nine, we want freedom for all Black and oppressed people, now held in the U.S. federal, state, county, city, and municipal jails. And I was just mentioning that. The jails, our greatest warriors are in them right now. And I guarantee you they're not given the right food. They're not given a proper place to sleep. They're not even given decent water. Now, if you're going to capture my sons and daughters, you better feed them 3 healthy meals a day, and they better have fresh water. They better have a library. These are things, Black family, like I tell you, Fulton County Jail, atrocious here, Men's Central in Los Angeles, atrocious. But if we don't follow up, then we're just as neglectful if we don't follow through and check on our brothers and sisters. And number 10, last but not least, we want land, bread, housing, education, clothing, justice, peace, and people's community control over modern technology. And this, my friends, was written in 1966. And it's so relevant for us today in 2022. Power to the people.
Absolutely. With the reading of the 10-point platform and the 9 local objectives and all of these great things that we know. We know that this is the key to freedom. But the Black Panther love is the greatest love of all time. And they were stealing general rules, general orders, and all the people have been able to get something from the Panther. And we're giving it free. The best things in life being for free. So we must understand.
That's right.
And the very best thing in life being.
You gotta come with all this extra stuff.
Yeah, well, we are on air. We are on air.
Okay. I'm sorry.
We're on air. And this
just call me later.
Seconds so we can separate the line. And this is a great thing, a great opportunity for all of us. I want to try to bring you up on 502-502. You're actually live on Black Power Radio, 502-873. You've been holding forever. And we'd like to give you an opportunity to say what you have to say tonight. 502-873, you're live on Black Power Radio.
Thank you.
Yes, go right ahead.
Thank you. I wanted to comment.
Okay,
I mean, to check you. Oh, I'm sorry, is it my turn? Can you hear me?
Yes, you are. Black Power Radio, go ahead.
Yes, welcome.
Welcome. I'm in Kentucky, and I was just able to chime in this time. The last few times I forgot, and I didn't know how to wait for the speaker to put me on. But I when I first came on to the show, I noticed you guys were talking about the housing situation. And I just want to back up for a minute. We really need to encourage these people to do something for housing, to make housing available for convicted felons. A lot of these people come out of prison, they have nowhere to live. So they're sleeping on somebody's couch or probably with a woman that they don't really want to be with. And I just wanted to address that because we're in the election season right now. And I also went to a local forum here where they talked about the housing situation. And but nobody's addressing that piece. How do y'all feel about that?
Well, thank you for that question. That definitely is very important to answer that. It all boils down to where are you calling from anyway? You from Los Angeles?
I'm in Kentucky, Louisville.
Oh, Kentucky. Okay. Now, how is the homeless crisis out there? What's the housing like in Kentucky? Is it hard? Is it a waiting list?
Yes, we have the same problem everybody else has. It has the homeless situation will never be solved, and we keep putting emphasis on it. How are we going to help the homeless? How are we going to help the homeless? We have helped the homeless, but most of the homeless don't want to be helped because they're either mentally ill or they are on drugs, and they have rehab facilities. They have given these people housing. They come out of the house. They don't want to stay in the housing for various reasons we don't know. But that's a problem. The poor and the homeless will always be with us. We're never going to solve that problem because the services are available. They've given these people Section 8 and everything. So
I hear that quite often as well. What's the housing authority in Kentucky? Who's the homeless service provider in your area?
The HUD. They have the HUD, they have a city program, and with the city program, they offer several vouchers by any means. The city of Louisville sponsors it. I think they get some percentage from HUD because they funnel them back to HUD for the housing. They can get a Section 8 voucher quicker than a woman with two kids that's single. I don't think that's the issue. I know some of the larger cities like Los Angeles, New York, it's just not available because of the population. It's just too many people, and everybody's waiting. So I don't know how it would vary for each state, but that's the situation we have here. It's not that we need to keep putting money into it. A lot of these people need to be rehabbed. Some people need to be rehabbed before they even think about a decent place to stay. And then, what's the relapse? You get them an apartment for three months later, they're out of the apartment for various reasons. Mm-hmm. So
now, is there empty property in your area where you live, in the neighborhood in Kentucky?
There's several empty properties. We have an abandoned house issue like all the other metropolitan cities. The real estate is probably a little cheaper because of the cost of living. The average apartment here will probably cost between $500 and $800. Yeah, that's it.
Okay. All right, so I want you to register and find out how you could actually build acute care centers and housing in your area. And that's where it begins. So you call this number, 1-866-548-0521. I repeat, if you want to build housing in your area or if you want to learn how to create a council, call 1-866-548-0521. And then they'll work with you in your city as far as urban planning. You'll have someone that will assist you in that fashion. And I'm so glad that you have called in because it's being proactive that's really going to change things. So you're Louisville, you live in Louisville, Kentucky?
Yeah, what is the does the number provide money to that can be allotted for felons?
Yeah, if you have identified
we'll take the federal dollars and we'll use it for other means, but they don't help felons.
Right. Who considers a felon? You're only a label if you accept what they give you. I mean, no one's a felon in our eyes. If they're imprisoned, most likely they are.
Well, when they come out of prison, they have a record. And, for example, you don't qualify for Section 8 when you come out of prison and you've been convicted on a drug charge or if you have a gun charge. You don't qualify for housing. That's here. I don't know how this is elsewhere. But I have a gentleman, he's in his 60s. He's pushing 70 now. He just did 30 years in prison, but nobody will rent to him. And now it's getting to where even with commercial housing, And when you're paying market rent, they even ask you for background checks.
Right, and so
okay.
That's some of the roadblocks that white supremacists like to use to block us, but we can go around that. So this gentleman and others who want to have housing, their background is not going to be a factor. And that's what we're doing right now on Black Power Radio. We are
really
a group of people coming together, making some difference in our neighborhoods. Go ahead, Eman.
Let me, hold on. Oh, that's all I wanted to touch on. I needed to, okay, I have a pen now. Can you repeat that number for me again, please?
Sure, 1-866.
Okay.
548.
Okay.
0521.
Okay, thank you.
All right, you're welcome. Looking forward. And let's build. So, right here on Black Power Radio.
We now want 4219. We now want 4219. Black Power, am I still on?
Yes.
Oh, good. Black Power. Yeah, we need to invest in our, well, a lot of us already do, invest in, apartment buildings and group homes where we're in charge and we can make that determination whether or not a person is, as long as they got a job and they can afford to rent, they should be able to have a place, But our people need to be thinking about what they're doing and thinking about what's going to happen when they come out of these places before they go into these places, before they put the gun in their pocket and walk in the liquor store thinking that little chump change is worth 20, 30 years out of their life and worth a record that they can't get a job, they can't get a place. They should think about this before they walk in that liquor store with that gun, What they should do is go to the community colleges, get whatever we can get, some education or even some training on how we can go out here and get homes and houses and land acquisition, which we're going for now. But at the same time, if you got somebody, the older gentleman, he did his time, and he done mellowed out. Now he's just looking to survive and live. That's cool. But when we got these young gangbangers out here in their 20s and all they're doing is busting on each other, constantly busting on each other. Who wants that around? Does anybody want that around? I mean, does anybody want to go to sleep around somebody that they don't know if they might not wake up because they let this person in their life? So what I'm saying is our youth need to wake up before they go there. Older heads, the habitual, you got habitual criminals out here that got arrested and then let out when they had the COVID-19 was real high. They let a lot of people out, and guess what? They went right back, That's why I put the youth.
With that, I must interject on that one, dear, because you are absolutely right on that, and the reason that comes is because I do mental health. I'm a doctor, in real life. So mental health is one of the main things I see doesn't change when the environment that they're in does not change. So if we're not actively building these alternatives where they can learn different outlets, so by the time they become adults, critical thinking kicks in. They have alternative skills. They have basic life skills. A lot of things have been deprived currently from today's youth. So this is why I say we have to attack the root issue, which is why I'm so glad Sister called from Kentucky, because everywhere, every state, our people that are listening We want them to create their own building. So start identifying that empty land and build that place so our kids can have something to look forward to. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am. And that's also saying take that rough and tough demeanor and take that that fire and bring it over here, and we'll cultivate it, and we'll make them into warriors, soldiers. You know, they got the heart. All they need is the right guidance. Black Papa.
Right.
So,
I
wanted to say something for you all.
Elon,
we have a special guest. A special guest has been online, and they held for such a long time, and they wanted to share something. This is Sister Melinda, has been holding almost all night, and she's over in the state of Missouri, and she wanted to share something with you all. Tell us a little bit about that, Sister Melinda, out in Missouri. Go ahead.
Hello. Thank you guys for listening. I think you guys are making a point about what you're discussing. And also, you know, the homelessness and a lot of other stuff, you know, it needs guidance from us older people. I love listening to you guys. Very spiritual. It's wonderful to listen to y'all.
Thank you, Queen.
Thank you, Sister Melinda, for calling in from Missouri. And don't make it your last time. And are you closer to St. Louis or East St. Louis or Jefferson City, Independence? Where about are you in the state of Missouri?
Almost by Kansas City.
Oh, by Kansas City. So welcome to Black Power Radio. Don't make it your last time to visit with us, a first time caller. I don't know. Do we have our horn out there, Dr. Critical Truth, for our first time listening on? It may be on or off tonight.
And the sister is an activist as well, you know, Black
okay.
Power.
Well,
thank you for coming on.
You all can continue your same trail of thought on in the conversation, but thank you so much again.
Thank you.
Yes, I thought you were in the middle of building a soldier, Black Lightning, and Critical and Dr. Critical Truth Bay was.
Yeah, just like the speech that Imam Akbar gave about, like the speech you gave about building the black man from the ground up, you know? Yeah, we got to catch them while they're young. You know, they got the fire, too. You know, they got the fire that they're like these little KKK militias. You know, they might stand idly by when we march through, but when them youth march through, and they got them bloods and them red scarves and them bloods and them crip scarves on, they don't stick around when they come through. But we need to have those on our team and bring it on to the team. Give them I'm gonna give them the 77 Bakers, but we also need a 7,000 cruiser, 7,000 for y'all to come on and join the real A team. Join the real A team. That's cruiser 7,000. Did I say it backwards? Cruiser 7,000 at Gmail, gangstamail.com, and come on and join us. You know. Just like any army, we got to eat, we got to travel, we need gas money. It ain't no joke. We're not just saying, oh, here, we need some money and then to fill up our pockets. No, every dime goes towards the people in the revolution, you know, and when we get off of these places, there's food, there's drinks, you know, sometimes we don't even have, well, not everybody, but some people don't even have hotel fare. You know, so we go somewhere and we might be gone for 3 days. And some of us, like me, got a sleeping bag in my car for that occasion, you know, and hopefully somebody shower that's there. And we always were brought in by the people. And that's the love I was talking about earlier. That's the love that keeps us going. And that's the love that keeps us coming back. So with that said, put some donations in the pot for $77 Bakers. And I'm going to say it one more time, 77 Bakers, B-A-K-E-R-S. And keep this revolutionary and strong. And like I said, the ones that's out there listening, that's looking for a real home, and we got our pants pulled up, and we got our boots, we got our pants tucked down in our boots, and we do all kind of training, from knives to hand-to-hand combat, target shooting, and all of that, you know. So join us. Make sure I got that right, Akbar. I think it's 7000, right? Is it, or is it 7000? Cruiser 7000 at gmail.com. Is that right? Somebody help me out here.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, right.
Cruiser 7000 at gmail.com if you want to email us. And then if you want to give generously to help the cause, and Black Lightning can bear witness that, and those donations do come through. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
You watch the whole program, Work in Action in Favor of Him, getting on and off the road and grabbing a hot meal as needed, and moving the Panthers around the nation. And the only way we live, brothers, is through the donations, believe it or not. The U.S. government does not give us a dime. The local government does not give us a dime. Corporations don't give us any money. It's you, the listening audience here at Black Power Radio, are the only donations that come in to our particular sector of the Black Panthers, and the Washington, D.C. network is the only, these network Panthers, the only way we live and move around the country. And we don't survive, we ain't trying to survive, but the only way we live is through your donations. So we're thanking you each and every day for being so generous in your donations and helping us. As you know, we're all moving to South Carolina right now. Every Panther within the sound of my voice is getting on into Gaffney, South Carolina. Once again, at a funeral service, this is something that's devastating. Within a month, they have executed two of We the People have been executed by racists, one again in law enforcement, one again by a private citizen, a white nationalist, killed Anthony Hill, number one, and one was a private citizen named Gregory Pollock. Gregory Pollock executed Anthony Hill, one. Later, law enforcement killed, they murdered Anthony Hill, two. Both were injured in the Iraqi war in a conflict, and both were murdered in there after they got back to the United Snakes of America in America, with the three A's and the three K's, oh my, my. And then we have, again, a sister was executed while she was murdered in broad daylight, attempted to prepare a meal for her family. You can't even be a black woman while cooking a meal for your family in America, typical America, without being murdered or put in some form of transitional transformation, or, again, as they have done so traditionally, massacred our people in the midst of doing good. And then, again, another one was killed right in South Carolina, right in old wooden-toothed Jesse James Clyburn's way, right in his district, right there, old wooden-toothed. With Lindsey Graham, any old Graham with ham. He is Graham definitely with the ham. But a pork barrel of politics, that's what you got in the congressman and the senator himself. That's a pork barrel of politics with no substance. And they won't even come on the doorstep of their own home and say that it's a hate crime. So we should be smoking them out today, again, exposing them for their wicked form of politics and corruption in the state of South Carolina. Oh, my, my, my. It is not the pink elephant upside down on the roof, but it goddamn sure ain't going away. And I'll just go ahead and move that mic on. I'm going to pass it. But I'm here to tell you, we are fired up about this thing, and we're not going to take it anymore.
Mr. Alvar, yes. Don't forget about in Greenville County, Terrence Maurice Sly, 34, a Taylor's. That's a city in Greenville County. He was shot by the Greenville County deputies Wednesday morning. Forgot about that one. So, yeah. Hey, look in your messages, your text messages.
This is, man, we really, really gotta pray for each other. This is holy war. Guys, we gotta come together. Man, this is heartbreaking to hear. When was this? Did this occur?
It was on Wednesday morning. According to Greenville County Sheriff Hobart Lewis, a man is dead after a shooting involving Greenville County deputies. Young man, black man, Terrence Maurice Sly, 34, Taylors, which is a city in the county of Greenville. That's the upstate of South Carolina. That's on the other side of Spartanburg. So when you leave out of Charlotte and you get to the last county in North Carolina, the first place you get to is Cherokee County, which is Gaffney. Then you got Spartanburg, and you got Greenville, and then Anderson. That's the four counties of the upstate of South Carolina. So it was on the other side of Spartanburg, which is about like the middle of the upstate. And again, this man right here was 34 years old. Didn't even really get to start his life yet. Young black man killed by the Greenville County Sheriff's deputies.
Now, who's being held accountable right now? Is there an investigation happening?
I think Sled is investigating. There was a hail of gunshots that went off, and for some reason they're not sure if any came from the victim of the shooting. But I thought they were supposed to have on body cam, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But,
right.
The officers are on paid leave right now.
Yeah, they're going to try to cover their tracks as they usually do. That's the MO of white supremacy. That's what they learn 101. But my condolences to this family as well. And black family, as I said before, we always got. So when we going to start? Tomorrow? You're going to start your change today? You're going to write and execute your plans? Do something different? This is a different season, black family. And I'm really excited because I know that when we come together, there's an awakening that's happening, but there will. Change is going to come. It's going to come sooner than we think, but we got to be ready for it. We got to be ready for it, black family. So have a quick musical break back in the 70s, and then we head right back for a closeout with Shaking My Mother. Then we have a co-host, Dynamite Lightning, CJ, and your girl, Truth Bay.
Talk to me. What she do? Send her roses just because. If it's violin she loves, let him play. Dedicate her favorite song and pull her closer all night long. Love her today, find a positive way. Don't forget, there could be and a lover in a memory. If you need her so much more, why don't you stay? Maybe she's happy in a mind that she. Ask her to stay one more this way. If you won't help you keep the love warm, you too young to change. Take the time to open up your heart. That's the secret of
Request feature on. We definitely want to hit 70s, 80s, 90s, Freedom Revolution. If you're a new artist and you got some music you want to play, we'll have a lot of opportunity coming up in 2023 where you'll be able to really submit your work, and we'll have some celebrity guests come on. And Tariq Nasheed, if you're listening, definitely we need to have Tariq Nasheed on as soon as possible, before or after the reparations meeting. March on Washington. So if you are attending or you know about it, you want to chime in on it, thoughts, you feel free to do that. So you're listening to Black Power Radio every Sunday and Monday night, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard, 8 p.m. Eastern. And we're glad to have you, Black family. You know, you could be anywhere else, but you are here with us, and let's chop up some intelligence. So we want to hear more from you. Come on, call in. And we get the call-in number. All righty, Mom. I yield the floor. Power to the people.
Again, we are just happy that you tuned into Black Power Radio. You could have been gone golfing, fishing. You could have been hunting some. You could have went coon hunting. I mean, my God. But you decided to tune in to Black Power Radio. And we're so damn glad that you did tonight. And of all nights, we're on the eve of the funeral service of Brother Lazelle Lane, who was again executed, or if you would, murdered somewhere in the within the criminal justice. The key to the sentence is criminal system run by criminals, practicing injustice against we the people, and we have taken an exception, and we've decided to start to govern ourselves, because that government has no form of reverence, no form of due respect that has been demonstrated towards we the people. From day one, they were seeking the enslavement and murder and tyranny against we the people. They have never practiced any form of harmony, never brought anything even resembling an olive branch towards we the people. There's nowhere on record that has been any solemn oath, any form of sincere remorse, never any form of repentance has been demonstrated by the opposition from the beginning, the middle, and now we're bringing it to an end of our relationship. And they are still they were killing us at the beginning, and they are killing us at the end. It's up to you, brother and sister, to wave goodbye to that type of relationship with that corrupt form of government. There's no way, there's not even a possibility of it being a great nation with that form of tyranny on their minds. That form of we're going to wave the white flag, we're going to wave the green flag, the red flag, the autumn, the turquoise flag, and what's the color just before that flag? But nevertheless, they have never practiced any form of peace and tranquility towards we the people. Therefore, we feel no hesitation whatsoever in waving a green light and abandoning the opposition and leaving their no good behind hanging at this hour. And he should be looking for a way to look at us to see salvation out of this form of corruption, out of the slime, out of the sewer line, the gutter line practice towards we the people that has been done for 400 straight years of tyranny and
corruption. We have no regret in exercising the no-holds-barred and practice succession away from this beast. To separate ourselves from him, it is a pleasure to leave his no good cracker behind hanging. And I will salute, salute as we go out of the doors, Congress, the White Supremacy House, in dignity and saying they have never practiced any form of friendship, even though they offered that olive branch to Nikita Khrushchev and all of those from Eisenhower and Truman. They negotiated and found a peace agreement with Nikita Khrushchev and Stalin and Hitler and Fidel Castro and Ho Chi Minh and all of those ones that have come along through the years and years and years to Vladimir Putin himself. Oh, please don't leave out Mikhail Gorbachev and Winston Churchill and Boris Johnson I wanted to say Martha Stewart, but the madam that was in the Prime Minister House and Queen Elizabeth and Prince Charles and Netanyahu and Boo Boo and Wee Wee and even the goddamn Tooth Fairy. But they have never said that we had been a friend. They were a friend of
Vladimir,
but have never expressed any form of friendship towards us. Only murder, tyranny, and some form of deception has always been practiced towards we the people. So we feel gladly we can say,
That's right. This
your no good cracker behind goodbye. Black power and a strong black military and some strong black revolution for those with the clear-cut solution. Black power. Oh, my.
Power to the people. Well, with that
right, being power said, to we the people.
We always must remember.
It is a spiritual battle out here, my friends. We must not forget we don't battle with flesh and blood, but with principalities yet unseen. And so if you're not firmly planted with God on your side before we go out there, right, we must.
Yes, ma'am. As you bring in your monologue forward, we just must include old Wooden Tooth Margaret Thatcher. That's the one. Not Martha Stewart, but old Wooden Tooth Margaret Thatcher. They were friends of Margaret Thatcher, but no friendship towards we the people. My.
Margaret Thatcher, you can't forget that. Right on.
You might as well add old Goldman Meyer and Moshe Dayan and Menachem Begin all in the, put them in the package with Netanyahu, and there's no friendship towards you and I. My.
Yeah, so don't ever forget, Black family, that there is no one that is going to bat 100% for us. So we must learn to bat for ourselves. So I just want to close out with this quick Bible verse. It's always important for us to remember, again, we are spiritual beings first, revolutionary second, and the two will combat white supremacy like never before. I believe it. We shall achieve it. So let's go to Jeremiah 29:11. Very simple promise that God has for his children, which is us, the warriors, children of the Most High. He says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. For the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, and plans to give you hope and a future." Very, very simple. Jeremiah 29:11, let it speak and be in your soul, and you wake up doing due diligence, complete your task, and love one another, but start building, Black family. It's not going to help with dialogue or thoughts and prayers. It's wonderful, but a hammer and nails is even more powerful. So with that being said, signing out, Black family, and thank you for listening to Black Power Radio. Your hostess with the mostest, Truth Bay is out. Minister of Justice. What's for you, Black family?
you get a rounding applause for being fabulous. Topaz, do I have any people left on this line still hanging on? Let's hear.
Hey, I got some breaking news. In my town, they found 5 people shot dead in a home. 5 black people found shot dead in a home less than 2 hours ago. Hey, like me and another comrade was talking about today, you got to meet power with power. You know what I'm saying? Some things is in the city council, some things is in the courtroom or protesting, and then you got different kind of ways to do things. So, I mean, as of right now, nobody knows what happened, but I'm just saying, though.
That's a downer. That's a downer. I mean, we're being attacked left and right. This is horrible. We have to create our own military. That's what your mom always said. We have to back everything up with a strong military defense. So let me tell you now, we got to get at arms, black family. Start teaching your kids hunting. It's hunting season. Huh. And I guarantee you, we are on the menu. We are on the menu.
You don't know if you're coming over for dinner or for dinner.
Mm-hmm. So, that's right. We got to be careful with that. So, with that being said, we'd love to hear more of your thoughts. So, please participate, call on in. And if you want to learn more about how you can create a council or public forum in your town, we're going to call 1-800 number 1-866. 548-0521, 1-866-548-0521, and there you'll get in touch with the Federal Health Commission. This is a urban planning development in Los Angeles that will help you develop your strategic plan in your neighborhood. We must start building, family, and now is the time. So I've been grateful spending this Monday with you on a holiday for colonizers, you know, so Christopher Columbus, you know, you get a day off or what. Some people don't, but if you don't, just keep positive. But I do appreciate you and love you to pieces and just be fabulous. And until next time, we'll see you next Sunday.
My. It is the end of another episode of Black Power Radio. And know that we have been the prey. And you can push that word around. We have been executed while in prayer. I'm in South Carolina where they executed Senator Clemente Pinckley while he was in prayer. And America did a drive-by. America should have, if they were a great nation, they would have been so outraged that that had happened, that every American, every real true American, every red-blooded American would have been on the front line issuing insurance policies to assure America and the world that this would never, ever, never, ever happen again. So any of those that are with us tonight, we always say never, never, ever again. We went into the city council the other week and we all said it together. Never, never, ever again. We must say that to you. Never, never, ever again should we allow them to kill us and get off fucking hook. We're not going to allow these bastards off the hook. Is that right, beloved?
Word to Big Bird.
Ain't no air in it. And we are not. We have self-determination to expose these demons for the dirt that they have done over the centuries, the dirt they have done in the last few days. And we will continue. The struggle must continue. We are ever vigilant in our attempts to expose this goddamn devil. We are not going to let him to continue to do it. We will not allow him to continue to do this to us. That old Senator Wooden Tooth, Senator so-and-so, sitting in the back of the pew. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And they don't need no reparations. They don't need no second school. They got a building, don't they? They don't need to sit on no bus. They got a seat, ain't they? Or they don't need no extra pool because they got a swimming hole out back of the Jesse John. So
what they don't need, no, they're all naysaying, no good bastards. We will not let these bastards off the hook. I'm here to explain to you all of that Jim Crow shit. You do have never, America, I will double back on America to say America has never truly identified Jim Crow. Jim Crow was the goddamn president of the United States. A wooden tooth cracker named Andrew Johnson is the goddamn Jim Crow. He is the one that vetoed the whole Emancipation Proclamation. Don't you get to this shit twisted, brother and sister. And that Donald the Duck Trump teamed up with Joe Biden, all of the same goddamn cracker soup warmed over. Here's the goddamn Jim Crow. You're just too stupid to realize that you are up against the same soup warmed over no matter how you flip it, Democrat or Republican, independent or no dependent. It's the same no good bastard. He warmed over, souped over, and it's over. That's what we say. Roger, Dad, 10-4, 10-4, over, oh, yeah, over and out, goddammit. We are not with you. We are against you. This is what we're trying to explain to we the people. We are against you, my. And I hope you, brother and sister, will remain vigilant and will do what you have to do to keep our soup warm, to warm it up and put in the fresh bread for we the people. But we would not accept this form of tyranny any longer. We will not allow you off the hook for the things you have been doing. And we will go back and dig up every single thread of evidence. All of the evidence against you will be used against you in the what we call the proper court of law. We will have the proper, we will hold the proper court on your behalf. And we will give the full due process of the law. We will face due process from we the people. And whatever we the people determine as the sentence, we're going to ask him, how do we find him on murder of we the people? How do we find him on public deception of we the people? How do we find him on abuse of his power against we the people? And how do you find him in just being a no-good bastard? And that's guilty on all charges. Throw the book at this no-good bastard, because that's all he's done. Kick our baby boy up there. Got two sticks of weed and two burnout, what they call doobies, roaches, two roaches, and they throw the book at our young people. And they still got them going back. They trip on the goddamn banana peel like they got some of our senior officers out there on this probation and tripping and doing what they have to do. And they have all of that going on. With all of that going on, they still find a way to put us on the hook, kill us, and do whatever they feel they can do, whatever they're able again to do and get away with. Anything they can get, they do it all to see what they can get away with. One was killed early in these killings, just before Trayvon. A man was asked, he said, well, why did you do this? Why did you feel that you had to kill him? And he said, I guess because I could. He said, why did you kill the man? He said, I guess because I could. I could get seeing what are we the people going to allow him to get away with. For the Honorable Dr. Frederick Douglass said that the opposition can do no more to you than what you allow them to do. And you keep letting them off. You keep greasing their palms. You keep allowing them to do these horrific diabolical acts on you and me and we the people. And you keep letting them off. The Panther has never allowed them off the hook. The righteous community has never allowed them off the hook. You keep allowing them off the hook. Oh, but we got we the people self-government and we're moving on. And we're moving on down the way. And we don't give a damn about no cracker named Uncle Sam. Not at this hour. We got Sister Glenda, I think, out there in Louisville, Kentucky. Did you have your last words for us, beloved, tonight? I can see her light is on. I can't tell if she's able. If you push one, Sister Belinda, you'll be able to speak, I believe. And who else we got out here? Black Lightning is out there. Did you have any words? Because, I mean, you know, this is Black Panther and Black Power Radio. We don't give a damn about no cracker named Uncle Sam. We ain't trying to be his main man. I know you understand. You already know what I'm saying. Huh? And you know goddamn well that I ain't playing. So with that said, if anybody else have any more mic time, any questions, any comments, before we close the Black Power Radio show and this episode of Black Power Radio on this Monday night. Anybody? Okay. Okay, we've done what we've done. We've said what we've said.
Black Revolution.
Bring that Black Revolution. Bring Black Power, a strong Black military, and a strong Black Revolution. Because Black Revolution is the only solution of whatever we say and whatever could be said or should be said. We already know that Marvin Gaye said it best. Assalamu alaikum and Black Power.